I believe it's okay. So this time we have tried with Christophe to not to have a slide deck, but a wiki page where we will show everything. I hope it will work and it will be convenient for everybody. The goal is also, so if you want later on to reread it and post some comments and so on, we will be able to discuss also on this wiki page. It's a test, and it's also a way for us to have this material for later presentation and have some follow-up on it. We'll see if it's convenient or not. It will be a kind of new stuff for us also. So the agenda here will be, you may have seen that Morgan has a lot of dedicated session on our integration. I have decided to make only one long. I hope also it will be convenient. So don't hesitate to send me an email or to put somewhere what you thought about having this long on wiki with the wiki page and so on, in order to see if we can do things better for the next event, maybe a physical event, who knows. So the agenda for OM is quite simple. So first, we wanted to share with you the high-level vision that we have for OM, so the ONAP installer, because today, the way we are installing has some drawbacks, and we would like to change a little bit the way we try to install. Then we will take a look at what we have achieved in a grilling time frame and what we would like to do. So it's intense. It's not something that we have signed with our blood, huh? But where we would like to go in Honolulu. So let's first start on the high-level vision for OM. So obviously, Christophe, you know me, I'm a big talker, so don't hesitate to stop me if you want to start or if you want to add something. So first of all, today, as you may know, ONAP is one huge is one huge collection of Helm charts that are deployed together, and all these charts are charts for ONAP components, but also for ONAP, what I call here on this schema, data store. So databases, but also Kafka, Zookeeper, stuff like that. And we also have charts for test software that are on Contrib. So, we used to have also some charts from what I'm calling the platform. So log collection, we used to have that. Or also we used to have some part of some Helm chart for storage class and so on. So all of that were put together. And for us, and I believe for a lot of people who want to go in production, it may be quite tricky to just want to deploy one subset or the very part of ONAP and use our specific dedicated tools for someone. So let's say that you are a service provider and you have experts in MariaDB, and in your company you can have MariaDB as a service. Today it's extremely complicated with OM to be able to use this MariaDB as a service services, because everything is tied together inside an app. So the first thing that we want to do is to clearly split these four elements, four types of elements. So ONAP core, which is obviously what is ONAP. So all the components that you know of ONAP that you want or don't want to deploy, but at least this is what is ONAP. So SO and NAI, SDC, OF, and so on, DCIE. There's a bunch of them. And this would be deployed in a specific namespace. So we want to have all the data stores. So as a start, in a dedicated namespace, but obviously this data store shouldn't be mandatory to deploy it. So, but we would provide some charts. So here I have put uh, the the main mainly used. Huh? Cassandra, MariaDB are the most used. PostgreSQL is used also a lot, but also Kafka for DMAP, Zookeeper for Kafka, Mongo, etcd, and so on and so on. So this would be optionally deployed with our, with some scripts, but before ONAP deployment and in a dedicated namespace to clearly split what is ONAP and what is not ONAP in your data center. Same thing for use cases and test software. So what is today in Contrib, there would be deployed for test purpose in a dedicated namespace, ONAP-Contrib, I believe. And this would be deployed also outside of ONAP main namespace because they are not really part of ONAP. They are there only for one thing, which is to test ONAP and verify that the basic function and the use cases are working. Last part, all the platform tools that we may need will be kept outside of ONAP and should be installed according to their documentation. So if you want some log collection and you're a fan of Logstash, then you should use a Logstash way of installing into your cluster. If you prefer FluentD, then you install FluentD. If you prefer Vector and so on, this is the same. Same for IAM, Identity Access Management. Same for Service Mesh. Same for monitoring and so on and so on. So all of that shouldn't be, may be needed for specific deployment of ONAP, but are not provided per se per with ONAP. We'll see later on exactly what I mean with that, but it's really to really clearly split all of that. So that means that, that's why I call that a Matryoshka model. Huh? You know, the puppets from Russia, you have the smallest one that the scheme that I have here, ONAP core, is the one that we, which is really the core of ONAP and what is ONAP. You may or may not need the databases which are around that. You may or may not need the contribution deployments, and you may or may not need the platform deployments. But obviously, ONAP core is or where we are work. We will work the most to have the best charts, the database, the platform deployments, the contribution deployments will not be as production ready as we would like to have for ONAP core. So the consequence, as I say, that the ONAP core is always installed, and because if you don't install ONAP, that means that you need ONAP core. So ONAP core, it's as configurable as today. Today you can choose your components, you can choose your subcomponents, and so it will be the same here. And of course, we will have to work on our charts to clearly split and to be a bit more stringent on the way we connect to databases and data stores that we have today, where it's a bit messy and maybe harder to, maybe hard to see. So as I have put in the scheme, it is meant to be deployed in production. That doesn't mean that it will not work in dev and test environment, but the goal for that is to really work to have something that should be, that would be deployed in production easily. So easily means a lot of things, but here it's to be sure that it works as expected all the time. The second part is then the databases. So they can be installed optionally, and these charts will be provided by OOM team, and they will be try to be as good as possible, but obviously there won't be the best and the state of the art deployment, because as you know, we have a lot of different databases engines, and so it's very hard for us to verify that all of them are the latest state of the art deployments. But this is the one. This chart will be the one we will use in our dailies and gatings deployments. The country part will be there only for test purpose. So that means it's very not it's very discouraged to use them in production. So clearly, it's just for test. Huh? So for example, AWX and Netbox, we are not doing a lot of stuff on it. We don't work on the replication on life cycle of this. Huh? It's just meant to be installed and removed if needed. So that's where that's why it's just for test. So if you want to deploy an on-app sniff test and you want to use this, it's okay. But in production, you should really think if you need Netbox to install it with the best way to install Netbox as shown in Netbox documentation, or use the professional services to do that. And the last part is the platform. So that's all the component extension mandated or not by ONAP. So here I have put some, Istio, Kickflow Operator, Set Manager. This is the one we would like to use in our service mesh POC. Some will be always needed, but most of them will not. Of course, we will provide an all-in-one installation Ansible script to deploy this. But again, it's not meant to be used in production. It's just here for us to deploy them when we are deploying our daily deployment or getting the platforms. And so it's meant to work. But again, it's not with the latest way. Maybe it's not with the production profile and stuff like that.
Sylvian, if I may just say something. So what's important here is that we would like to keep the contracts between the layers that we have as loose as possible. So ONAP core should be flexible enough to connect to database by just having a URL and username and password, and that's it. If you have any specific requirements for the database that you are using, you should clearly specify minimum supported version, maximum supported version, and recommended version, just to be sure that people can deploy or create any database inside in the way that they want, in a way that their company prefers, and then you'll just simply be able to use whatever is provided for you at the deployment time. This also means that your component should check whether the expected resource, either a database or a contribution, a part of contrib, is available and is configured in a way that you're able to work with it. Because if it's not, we should fail the deployment as soon as possible and not simply try to hang and wait for a database forever.
Exactly. So I think I have put something on that, on the consequences. But yes, it's very important for that. You as a as component person, so let's say you are someone working on CDS, you know that CDS, as far as you remember, needs MariaDB. So and we can help you, and we will help you obviously with that. You know that you need MariaDB. You know that this MariaDB version must be superior to this version and inferior to this version. So this is stuff that we need to put. So more or less loose, huh? But at least to be sure that if you don't have a MariaDB configuration, you don't even try to deploy, because it's a nonsense, as you won't be able to start. So so that's the part of the consequence for component deployment. So as you know, today we are using OM deploy script, which, as I said, is deploying everything it's a fire and forget script. But here the goal will be that this OM deploy script will only deploy OM core parts. And as we said, expecting links to all database and config components to be provided explicitly. Again, that's a long-term vision. We are not saying that we will have all of that in Honolulu, but that's where we are going. That's why we are pushing that and showing that to you. Of course, as I said, for hotel deployment, we generate a search and override automatically, and we will provide the script to generate it, so you can use it also for your test deployment. But keep in mind that if you want to deploy in production, this is clearly something that where you will have to work on it and to see exactly how you want to propose and provide all these parts. Other components will be deployed now in the long term with Helm install and not OM deploy. So that means that you will have maybe before ONAP installation to install all the components that we need. Again, maybe we will provide a simple script to do that, but maybe not. It will really depend on if we have the time to propose that. And something that is important also to understand that in Kubernetes, the secret belongs to a namespace. So as we have said, we will be at least on three different namespaces. So that means that the secret of a database credential will be in a database namespace. And so ONAP Core will not be able to retrieve this namespace. So we will provide a script that will essentially read a secret in one namespace and write another secret to the core namespace. So the good step for that is that that means that at the end of the day, we should be able to be to list all the secrets we need for all ONAP components, because today it's not that clear. And also, it means that maybe we will be able to translate a little bit if needed. Is there any question for now? Yeah, go ahead.
Just to be very precise on how it's going to work. So, for example, you decided that you are going to use our database deployment. So you will deploy that, and then we'll provide a script that will simply read all the secrets, generate all the links that are required, and basically create an override file that you will use to deploy on a core. So all those secrets or all those database URLs are going to reside in your override file. And then this override file will be basically used by ONAP Core to create secrets. That's it.
Okay, cool. Is there any question or I may continue?
I have a question, Sylvain. Yeah. So the future model, does this means that it will not be possible with OOM to have two instances of MariaDB for two component if we wish to inside our internal deployment? Because I know right now it's allowed, right? We can have either a single one or one per component.
So for each component, so let's say, so MariaDB, for example, we know that SO and SDS, I believe, is using MariaDB. Yeah. So you will have the choice for all the components of the link to the database. So that means that SO should tell you that he needs a database, I don't know, version 10 at least, 10.0, and at most 10.5. And CDS maybe say, I want 10.4 at minimum and 10.5 at maximum, because 10.6 is not existing today. And they can connect to the same database, or they can connect to two different databases. So there shouldn't be any changes as of today. The configuration of each database is done per component and will not be done as a big ONAP MariaDB database, but really per component. Obviously, if you always use the same database, there will be a lot of, on the override file, you will tell always the same size, but at least you have the choice.
Okay, so basically in the ONAP core, you would be able to spin up two instances of MariaDB for two components, and then you just change the URL of the configuration for those components.
Yep.
Okay,
understood. And you're not, so just to be clear, you're not going to spin up any database in ONAP core. Mm-hmm. All the databases should be created before we start the ONAP core deployment. And then in the override file, you will specify which instances of databases should be used. So you just provide URLs and that's it. If you provide same URL to all ONAP components, a single instance of MariaDB is going to be used. If you provide a different URLs for every component, then every component is going to use a separate instance.
Okay, okay. So I missed. So basically the database will be deployed by the data store. Yes. So the core is all of the component and then the data store is all of the data store, basically. Okay,
yes. Understood. Yes.
Thank you.
One question to the certificate, sorry, regarding the certificate management. So we have the certificate management as part as the in OOM now, let's say in parallel to the AAF, but the clients are still connecting or getting the initial certificates from AAF. Will that then also change or is this topic for the tomorrow session?
I don't know which tomorrow session you are referring to, but what I would say is that AF, as you know, is on maintenance mode for a long time. So the goal for us is to really move out from AF as smoothly as possible. So that means that for a time, you will have in ONAP core component AF, and so certificate management, which should be on the platform, will be in an ONAP core component. And when we will be ready, we will remove AF and certificate management will be using, I would say, a standard way for Kubernetes, so maybe Cert Manager. So that particularly would be something we may mandate for ONAP deployment. A pre-step that we mandate is to have a Cert Manager installed in your OOM Kubernetes platform before. But today, clearly, we are not there. I hope in Honolulu or in Istanbul, we will have made a significant improvement to move there, but today we are not there yet.
Yeah, I think tomorrow there is the session of enrolling the certificates from CMPV2 servers from Pavel.
On this one, so it will be maybe one of the solutions. Today, to be honest, it's not clear exactly how we want to do that. I think that Damien was the next on the line because
I would have a very quick question on this. So I'm just wondering if you want to introduce such scripts which copy the secrets or which enable the secrets created on the database side within the ONAP core side, right? Do you see any impact on some like existing automation tools? I'm thinking about things that you have in like Azure Cloud, right, where you can monitor your Helm chart repository and apply changes when you see changes in this Helm chart repository, right? I mean, we will introduce some, some specifics for ONAP, right? Some customizations specific for ONAP, right? Do you see that it will have an impact on the usage of such orchestration tools, let's put it like that?
I don't think so, because here, clearly, as I said, Christoph, it's only an override file that you have provided at first. And then let's say that you're, so there is two cases, obviously. One case is you are monitoring MariaDB specific mm-hmm. deployment, let's say Bitnami one, mm-hmm. and you have deployed this way. There's a new version. You are upgrading that, but it shouldn't change it shouldn't change the credential. So that means the secret mm-hmm. shouldn't change or the, mm-hmm. the secret values. So you don't need to do anything on the ONAP side. On the other way, you are upgrading ONAP because you are moving from version Honolulu to Istanbul. And here, the override file will still be the same for this part. So it shouldn't change also. So I would say that we are trying to move to be the most generic and the most as everybody in the cloud and not to be too much ONAP specific. So I would say that we are a step in this direction. Yeah.
Okay, so that would mean, in a nutshell, it would mean, okay, we prepare this ONAP data stores to our configuration, whatever we want to do, whether we are running in test environment, production, whatever, right? Then we execute those scripts, right? And then from that moment, we do not expect that anything should or will significantly change. We operate only on the on UpCore Helm charts together with this override file that will not really change, right? So if we use these tools to monitor the Helm chart repository, then we should be able to use them without any changes. Yeah. Okay. So, thank you,
Damian. Basically, in your production environment, you may introduce any policy that you want, and you may deploy databases in any way that you want. You may not even deploy them in Kubernetes. You may use Trove or any database as a service, right?
Yep.
The only thing that ONAP is going to expect from you is that you will explicitly provide the URL to the database, the username and password, and that's it. However you spin up your database, how often you rotate your passwords, what is important from the ONAP perspective is that it gets a valid URL, user and password, and that's it.
Okay, so we like split this thing, right? So we prepare the data stores first as some kind of activity that we want to do before ONAP. We copy the secrets, whatever we need, and then we operate on ONAP core components only.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Understood. Okay.
Any other comments?
Do you have an idea about the timeline of this change? So roughly.
Roughly, I would say that the first one thing we want to do is to move out contrib. So it is simple and not simple. It is simple as it's very loosely tied to ONAP core, except for AGBCA, where we've got a secret for CMPv2 use case. So I believe that would be the way for us to test the contrib, the script and the override file and so on. And I would say that after we will, so I expect that in a Gilin time frame for ONAP data stores, I do expect first to have some try and errors on our side and maybe, I don't know, one simple case, Mongo or HCD, and move to the other ones for Istanbul or I don't even know the next name, but I don't expect that for Honolulu, I believe. Yeah, Christoph?
So I think that before we start moving databases to a separate namespace, we would really want to get to the point where we have every component be able to use the database that has been explicitly specified. Even if it resides in the same namespace, we want to start switching components one by one to be sure that instead of using something that is hard-coded inside the component, like the expectation that MariaDB that you are using is named, I don't know, CDS-MariaDB or anything like that, that instead of such hard-coded URLs, you have explicitly a configuration options that option that allows you to set the URL and the secret.
Fair enough, thank you.
Okay, cool. So let's move a little bit to the consequences for, but I believe we have said most of them. So as we said, we need to give a range of version and a preferred version to give what to be created by external access. So obviously you have if you need MariaDB, you will need to create what is called a database in MariaDB, but maybe one, maybe several. The user that needs to be inside, all of that has to be given in a way or another. We would love to have a kind of standard way to do that, because we may not have admin access to this database. So that means that if your component, if you are a PTL or needs root access for any reason, it will be a blocker. And so we will really have to work on that and to be sure that we don't need that. There is no reason to have this root access to a database, as we all are users of this database. So the goal here is to clearly split that also, as it's a security issue. And as I say, we need to be able to configure database access and credential for the deployment as an override part. And as I said, as we have said also, per default, this value will be a blank. And so that means that we will fail if this value are not filled, fail before deploying instead of failing during the deployment to say, you forgot to put the database and you try to connect to a fake a value that is not valid at all. For the database deployment, as I said, our deployment shouldn't be ONAP only, so that means that we have tailored everything to work with ONAP, but they can be ONAP centric. So that means that we can use the same standard template that we are using in ONAP, but clearly we really want to have them as any database shards, and so anyone could use them for another need than for ONAP. Again, we try to make them as good as possible, but clearly they will be good for light production maybe, but not for heavy production and stuff like that, where you should, and maybe you will move to expert deployed and expert install database services, as we all have in our internet.
One of the goals here is to make sure that ONAP is rather independent from the way that you're deploying your database. So in first step, we are definitely going to reuse the chars that we already have, but in the future, to reduce the amount of chars that we need to maintain, we would probably want to use some upstream charts, as Sylvain mentioned, or when you're using Azure or any other cloud environment, maybe they provide some database as a service, and that's it. And this also means that the deployment that we will have is not going to be a part of officially hardened or supported part of ONAP. It's just there as a reference deployment, but it's not a part of ONAP, and it's not something that will be our top priority to make sure that there is no vulnerabilities and stuff like that.
Yep. So last part, last two parts are contribution and country deployment. As I said, they won't be ONAP only, but ONAP centric. But again, we will move to change our stats in the future. But here, the just will be good enough for use case testing. So that means that all the lifecycle management part or all the backup and restore part will not be tested at all. They won't be there to last long. So it won't be there to be installed, where the tests will be done and to last a few days. They can last longer, but nothing would be done to make them work with a very high availability. And same for databases. The goal is also, as Christophe said, the goal would be also to have them outside of ONAP by just referencing some charts we are using for our testing purpose. For the platform part, we will provide an Ansible script that will be used also in our dailies, weeklies, and gating deployments in order to deploy all the platform charts we need, but that's all. It won't be given as for a deployment purpose, even if it may work in a different production environment. But again, the goal here is to say that if you want, please use the state-of-the-art charts or way of deployment of this component that you can find in the documentation for your production deployment, or use services from your cloud provider entity. So I
believe that regarding the platform and deployment and country and databases charts, a quotation from from the from one of open source licenses is perfect here. So this is going to be provided as is without warranty of any kind. It's all open source. If you want to use that in production, go ahead, you're on your own, but you cannot blame us if something gets broken or someone managed to hack into your infrastructure. That's it.
Okay, is there any question before I move to Gwilin achievement? I'm trying to push a little bit because we are past half of the time of the meeting, but if you have any question, don't hesitate. I think the global vision is the most important part of the presentation. So, but I see that there is no people unmuting, so I will continue. Or you can also ask questions on the chat. We will be happy to answer. So on the Gwilin part, so there has been a hard work on support of recent version of Kubernetes and Helm, and I would like to thank all the people that have done this work, all the Nokia Polish team, all Samsung Polish team. The work has been huge, and we were stuck in 1.15, and now we can move up to 1.19. It has been tested. It has been tested a lot, I would say. So it's very nice. Same for Helm. We were stuck in Helm v2. Now we are moving and we are supporting Helm 3.3 on Gwilin. So not 3.4 or 3.5 on Gwilin, but 3.3. It's experimental, especially because our shards are too big. So that means that Helm is storing the shard and the generation with your override file in a secret in Helm v3 per default. And unfortunately, some of our charts are too big to fit into this secret. So that means that we cannot use the default way of Helm 3. On Helm 2, we have the same issue, but the good thing, or not good, but what it's done is that storage is done at the end. So we M2 first deploy, then store. And so even if on M2 SO shard is too big, that's not an issue. On M3, is a first store and then they deploy. So if you cannot store, they will not deploy. And so here it's more NNAI the issue. And so that means that you cannot deploy NNAI. And everybody knows that without NNAI, you cannot do a lot of stuff here. So that's why you can use a PostgreSQL as a ready storage backend. There is a option here. That's what we are doing in our deployment. Obviously, the goal for Gwilin is to work on NNAI to fit it into the 1 megabit secret size. And with that, we should be able to have a deployment on M3 as any other component we can do. We have worked a lot also on the limits and requests for all deployments. So now I believe they are all using request limits. So I have to check with Morgan and integration team as they have the waivers stuff and I didn't check, but I think we are very close to that. Also a lot of work by Samsung on logs to STD out. So why STD out is first because when you are using STD out, you can use any log collection from a Kubernetes world. So as I said, logstash, FluentBit, FluentD, Vector, any other one. And as such, it's a lot easier to pick and choose your favorite and to push that into a central entity like Elasticsearch. So work has been done on NNAI, SO, SDNC, OOF. So work has been done either by OM team or by team from the component. And I really thank everybody to have done this work. It's not finished, but we have done a very big improvement on this part. On automatic certificate retrieval, we have worked to retrieve this certificate from AF automatically instead of having hard-coded ones in the folder. So vid SDNC, SDC, it's not two times SDNC, it's one time SDNC, one time SDC. SO and Clamp are using this automatic certificates retrieval. There is still work to do, but we are advancing also on this part. Vid is not doesn't need to have a dedicated database, but can use it. But by default, we'll use the shared one. So again, it's also a way for us to simplify and to speed up a little bit the start for simple deployment. Better ingress support because we have found some bugs, and so we have resolved them. It's an official deployment way. It wasn't in a Frankfurt release. So that means that if you want to use it, it should work out of the box. And if you have any issues, don't hesitate to say it to us so we can find and resolve these bugs. It will be used more and more also on our gating and daily deployment. So it should be more thoroughly tested. There has been also a big sharp cleanup on SO in order to use the automatic certificate retriever, but also to work on the ingress side and so on. So the SO chart has been cleaned up a lot. I don't know, Christophe, if you want to add some stuff here.
Nope, I think you summarize it all.
Okay, so I will let you talk about Honolulu Intense. Oh, Eric, I want to say something.
Yes, Sylvain, yes, maybe something you are missing because you are doing on the daily basis, but all the gating part also, I think you that's something that is very important in your activity. So
yeah. Yeah, that's so. Yeah, on the gating part, that's true. I forgot. we are gating now SO, Clamp, and OM projects. That means that every time you are proposing something on one of these three projects, there will be some gate. And we have worked to have what we call experimental gates that shouldn't be experimental long, which are using ingress, which are using storage classes, M3, Kubernetes 119, and so on. So that has been a long work, and we should be able to have some smart vote also on gating in the future. Okay, so Christophe, I let you do that, or as you wish.
So I may try to do it, and if I miss anything, you can always add something. So what we are working on in Honolulu is, first of all, more robust container image retrieval. You probably all know that Docker Hub introduced some, let's say, rate limits that you know caused our deployments to start failing, and in order to fix that, we started cleaning up. Let's say some issues that we had for a very long time, but never had enough motivation to clean up the way we are referencing our images. And for now, everything is split into four repositories, and you can easily override or proxy any of them. We have introduced a new MariaDB version. We've been using a pretty old one. But now it has been updated, so it's more aligned with SecCom recommendations. We also obviously want more components to use shared MariaDB, and this is something that is aligned with our, let's say, long-term vision. And what's really important for us is to make sure that we are not using admin user from components, or at least there is a dedicated job that is the only part of the component that gets the admin credentials, and then only the user ones are used among the component. We also did a very, let's say, tough step, a step back, and we reintegrated AI and robot back to the OM repo. So as you probably remember, in the past, we had this move to giving back Helm charts to project teams. Unfortunately, it turned out that it's really hard to synchronize, and they are not always able to maintain, and it causes significant issues, especially when we are getting close to the release. So we decided that for now it would be better to have everything in OM repo in order to be able to have in-depth review of every patch that is submitted. Something that is already in progress and Sylvian is dealing with that, is to try to shrink the size of ANAI Helm charts to fit them within Helm limits and be able to finally move to Helm V3 deployment. And obviously, like a never-ending story, we are working towards more automated certificate retrieval. So we really want to finally get rid of hard-coded certificates, and we are working step-by-step in that direction. I think that would be it. Sylvain, have I missed anything?
Yeah, you have missed just the last one, the dual stack support for IPv4, IPv6. So this is also something that is quite important for 5G deployments. So our friends from Nokia Poland are working to be sure that this is working well in a dual stack environment, and there should be a gating part also. So an automated deployment on Kubernetes supporting IPv4 and IPv6 to be sure that any new change will not break this dual stack support. Something I wanted to say on the certificate retrieval, I forget to say that we have put into OOM the certificate database from AAF. So it may doesn't seem very important this way, but that means that we have the ability to change this database, and especially to add new certificates, to change the type of certificate we want. So in order to simplify the onboarding of new components, but also the onboarding of a new way to for the automatic retrieval. Sometimes we need some files, some way of retrieving the certificate that was not present. So that should simplify a lot, and that is simplifying a lot actually, our work on automatic retrieval. And I also forgot that we have a new stuff also that on, it's not yet merged, but it's very close. We will have the TLS support at ingress side. What does it mean? Is that it does mean that, let's say you have a component that wants to have an external access. Today, you must have a TLS generation in your component. That means that you need to verify that your cipher suite and so on is well done and so on. Here, with that, and that the first component that we're using is SO, instead of having this TLS part on the component, it will be done at the ingress side by automatically retrieving certificates from AF, pushing that into a secret that will be used by the ingress. So that means that all the TLS part can be done at TLS level, at ingress level, and not at a component level. So it should simplify also the configuration of your component, and it will simplify our move to service mesh and certificate management later on.
I think, Sylvain, that it is important to say loud the consequence of moving AAF database to OOM. So the consequence is that we are able to modify the certificate data without actually releasing a new AAF image. As you know, AAF is in maintenance mode, so it's not easy to release a new image of AAF. And now you can do everything from the OOM repo.
Yeah, Bruno, I think you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, one question for the TLS support for the ingress. Is it possible also to have it without AF?
So for now, no. I have to check. I will tell you. It should be. I think it's possible, but then you have to generate the secret before, or you have to generate the secret. But I will check. So to be honest, I'm working on that for a couple of months, and this part is quite old. I had a lot of trouble from the AF side to retrieve the certificates, transform them in the good way for an ingot certificate. I believe it's possible, and if it's not, I will work on to have it possible, because this is something I would like to have for obviously.
Okay, yeah, that's something also. Yeah, we may be interesting in. So maybe we'll think and we can see how we could achieve this. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. So I think that. Yep.
I had a question, Sylvain. So this means that if we have automatic retrieval of certificate from AAF and then ingress is TLS, this means that the component can be HTTP, or it needs to be HTTP, I suppose, right?
No, the component, so on the SO side, the component is HTTP. So okay. There is no need of being HTTPS or HTTPS. To be verified if it's, so I have not tested HTTPS ingress and reaching an HTTPS component. I believe it should work, but I haven't tested it.
I don't see any point in doing that. So I just wanted to know if the component was HTTP. That's what I was interested in.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it
yeah.
is okay. Cool. That's good. Okay.
So there are also questions on the chat by Fabian around service mesh. So I have not by purpose talked about service mesh POC that we have, because it's not advancing as fast as we would love. Just for information, it's still advancing a little bit. So today we have a DMAP is deploying very well into an Istio. I am working on NNAI also, and I hope to. NNAI is also kind of a crash test, huh, because there's it's using SDC. We have seen that if you have been in a build presentation this afternoon or this morning for you, this part is. SDC is HTTPS only, so we have changed the code in SDC client to be HTTP. Now we have changing the, we are proposing a change in the code in NNAI to be SDC. So it's also a way to test that. I hope that we can move fast on that after, and to have at least a core part that is runnable on Istio without any new scheme of authentication. But in parallel, I know that Christophe and is working to add this JSON Web Token onboarding also on app. So that means that we should also, as soon as it's ready, be able to test that once we have a sufficient part of on app that is service meshable. But clearly, it's a POC. We are not a lot of people, so that's where we are not really working a lot on it. So again, if you want to contribute, don't hesitate to ask us. We are working to have a daily deployment of this with as many components as possible. But as I said, it's not, we have some tricky stuff to work on. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. So I don't know if you have any other question, comments.
So I think we missed one of the items. For Honolulu, which is that we want to have a public Helm chart repo. So we want to publish our Helm charts to Nexus, right? So that people do not need to recompile everything if they want to only deploy on as it is.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. So I will just add it here before I forget. This is something that is quite important. We have working with LFIT on that. I hope to have something quite soon, and maybe it will be available also for maintenance release for Gilin. So that means that you have said, Christophe, it will be a lot easier to deploy an app for a normal version. You will just have to make Helm a repo add, I don't know, repo.onapp.org. And then after you do Helm install onapp, and it should work. And this is something that also will also allow us to, after the next steps, to be a lot more, a lot less stringent in the version, and to move the version of the different components a bit differently. And so to be a bit more cloud native and not all chains as bit to be picked in one. Up. just to not to forget. Yeah. So is there any question, comments? Or we may have answers to everybody. Yes, Eric?
Yes, I think, Sylvain, congrats, and also Christophe for this work, but I think you're also asking from help, because you have a lot of work on I'm still amazed by all the work you did, you and Christophe, and so I think if we want to have more, let's say, advanced feature on like a service mesh or other cool stuff, we need more people also.
Yeah. So
it's also
absolutely agree. We are always looking for support, right? So the more people we have, the more features we can introduce, and the better our deployment is going to be. I also want to stress that even if we have the best piece of software in the world, but no one is able to deploy it or to maintain it at day two, then who is going to use it?
So just to say that on the Gilin release, we had a lot of help by Nokia team. So I want to thank them. There were, and that's true that it was sometimes, I wouldn't say too fast, because it's never too fast, but we had so many patches, and same for STDOT on Samsung side, that it was really, really nice. But now, yeah, that's for sure that, yeah, we are not that much up today, just to explain. On a daily basis, it's Christophe and myself. So that means that we are only two committers, so only two to make all the reviews, only two to make some changes. Obviously, there's a lot of PTLs that are upgrading their version number and so on, but I would say the foundation of OM is done by mostly both of us. That's for sure that it will be a two-man's job, and that's all. So it will be as best as we can do, but if we are four or six, it's a lot better than when we are only two. Well, we are reaching the top of the hour, so I propose to close now here. I am thank you all for your participation in this meeting. There's a very nice meeting from Integration Friends just after us, so don't hesitate to come there, because I think this is a really important work. We are working a lot with integration guys, because we are reusing in the gating part all the awesome jobs they are doing it. So that means also they are testing a lot of their jobs. So that means that the quality is improving always. And it was very good at first. So don't hesitate to follow this call just after. And thank you all, and have a great day, end of day, night, depending on your time zone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.